is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
California, Gavin Newsom, the very powerful and popular governor of California. A choice. Dianne Feinstein's passing meant that the governor needed to choose a senator to serve out the term. And there is a primary underway. It gets very complicated. So I'm very happy that Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution, the host of Politics and Policy podcast and Goodfellas podcast, TV show, video, he is here to help me understand what's going to happen between now and the new Senate. Bill, a very good evening to you. LaFonza Butler is the governor's choice. She is living in Maryland, but she's a longtime active political voice in California. What I see most importantly from your presentation is that she's strong union. How was her choice, the choice the governor made, received in California? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. It was received with somewhat raised eyebrows because while the governor had made it clear that he was going to pick a black woman for the seat, a little surprised that the black woman actually lived in Maryland. But the bigger surprise here, John, was that one of Newsom's conditions was not just race and gender, but also that whoever got the job agreed to just be an interim senator and not serve beyond the remainder of Senator Feinstein's term, which is through next year. Well, the governor backtracked on that and made it clear when he chose LaFonza Butler that she is free to decide if she wants to run for a full term or not. And if you're a Barbara Lee, John, who is a congresswoman from the Bay Area who is running for the Senate right now and is a black woman, she is furious. She lobbied for the job, and Newsom did not pay attention to that effort. And Newsom's people made it very clear that, well, she's an active candidate. We don't want to screw up the Senate primary field. If LaFonza Butler jumps into the Senate primary field, then Newsom has completely broken his pledge on that, too. So that's kind of where the biggest ripple was in California, that it could change the dynamics of that Senate race.
Importantly, LaFonza Butler's job was to lead Emily's List. I remind myself, Emily's List is not about a wonderful person named Emily. It's early money is like yeast, E-M-I-L-Y, which is what campaign workers tell themselves when you're in a contested race. Early money is like yeast. Emily, is she regarded as a major leaguer in the Democratic Party? Is this a pros pro, Bill?
She isn't pros pro. It's not just Emily's List. She goes back to working for SEIU and various labor movements. And she's also close to Kamala Harris, interestingly enough. Newsom and Harris always talked about being on a collision course over the presidency at some point, but she's very close to Kamala. There's some whispering inside Washington circles that she paid a little too much to Senator Harris's fortunes and a little less to the greater fortunes of Emily's List candidates while she was there. But because she has that Emily's List connection, John, that means that she were to decide that she wants to run for the Senate, and she has it until December the 8th to do so, she could monetize pretty fast. And as you know, California is a big casino when it comes to spending money in politics, but she could probably get $10 million pretty quick, which would be a good start.
What does this do for the other candidates for the office? Katie Porter, who I get her email all the time. She's very friendly, cheerful, young, and Adam Schiff, who needs no introduction. Does it change their dynamic?
It does if she runs, John, and it changes it in two ways. Obviously, if she jumps in, that means there are four Democrats in that race, and that's one too many. So if somebody would drop out, I'd wager that Porter would probably be the one to drop out because she could fall back to her House seat or maybe set her eyes on running for governor, which would be the other ripple here. One of these candidates, Porter or Schiff in particular, could decide that, you know, maybe it's going to be a little too rough running against Butler and making the runoff for Senate in California. John, these are top two primaries, the top two vote getters advanced in November, regardless of party affiliation. It could then jump over to the governor's race. Schiff was very interested in being attorney general of California when that position was vacant. He could maybe jump into that. So there's a lot of drama sitting out here between now and December the 8th when all candidates have to make up their minds about what they're doing vis-a-vis the March primary.
There are other significant political actors in California. I'm thinking of Nancy Pelosi, who remains in the House of Representatives, a very powerful voice. Does she have a candidate for the Senate position?
Yes, it's Adam Schiff. She got behind Schiff early, an interesting choice given that she bypassed teaming up with two women running in the race. She has helped raise money for Schiff, which would put him in a good position right now. Now, you could say that, well, wait a second, why would Newsom pick LaFonza Butler, knowing that if she did run for a full 6 years, that would make Nancy Pelosi unhappy with Adam Schiff? The answer is this, John. Whichever Democrat is on that ballot next November, they're going to win that election. So maybe Nancy Pelosi would be upset that Adam Schiff didn't get the nomination that LaFonza Butler did, that LaFonza Butler would be the next senator, not Adam Schiff. But at the end of the day, she'd have a Democratic senator in California and a woman as well. So Nancy Pelosi could probably live with that.
Another strong voice in California is Senator Padilla. Has he indicated his choice or indication or what he's looking for?
Well, I'm not sure Carl Expedia's strong voice in California, John, because he is not a very visible presence out here. He's not much of a news hound, and back in Washington, he's really not in front of the cameras that much, and that's one of the interesting questions moving forward. Historically, you have two categories of United States senators. There are show horses and there are work horses. The show horses are really great at getting in front of the camera and expressing outrage and doing media hits. The workhorses are the ones who quietly behind the scenes get stuff done, move legislation. And that was Dianne Feinstein's forte for, 30 plus years in Washington. But he is not that person right now. Now, you asked about where he is in terms of this race's political dynamics. He's been quiet so far, but Alex Padilla was first elevated to the Senate by Gavin Newsom. He's always been close to Newsom. I would suspect that Butler got in the race. With Newsom's blessing, I would also assume that I imagine Padilla would also fall in line in that regard. So let's assume he'd be in the Butler camp.
The governor. Now, the governor started this by making a decision, several decisions, and he has emerged from this process. Okay? Dinged at all? Any disappointment? Are people staring at him in an unusual fashion? The New York Times certainly gives him a wonderful photograph. It looks like he's in a Hollywood movie here as governor.
Well, I just imagine what it would be like if he actually ran for president in terms of the second coming at Camelot and so on and so forth. He got a little dinged up here in California circles by columnists, people like me who spend way too much time following this stuff, over the fact that he had to go to Maryland, but also that he backtracked off the interim pledge, if you will. So he got a few demerits for that, but overall, one thing Gavin Newsom considered, this is what he seems to love the most in making these appointments. It's the ability in the lead paragraph, John, to say that the person you're picked is the first fill in the blank, the first black to serve in the job, the first Filipino, the first Asian, whatever box it is, choose. And with LaFonza Butler, my goodness, he chooses the first black lesbian to serve in the United States Senate. That's, as far as Newsom is, in identity politics, that is a home run, if you will. So you could argue in some ways that it actually helps with the presidential process for him because now he has yet another historical creature to pull back on. The only criticism with this and is that, again, in California circles, this is a governor who's great at announcements and big splashes, but he is terrible at follow-through, and that's dogged him throughout his career in public office. And so some people did note that as well. Hey, great announcement, but, get back to me 6 months and let's see what's actually going on in the Senate vis-a-vis California.
And Bill, right now, is there any new hints, clues, somebody whispering an open mic about the governor and the presidency? Anything like that? Any change? 30 seconds, Bill.
It's the same old, just the continued whispering about Joe Biden's kind of declining political fortunes and his declining cognitive state. Wouldn't be great if a Democrat could step in. But, this is all just kind of fanciful talking between us, John, until Joe Biden actually decides he's not running for president. So until that time, Gavin Newsom has to kind of keep everything in bay until 2028.
Bill Whalen, the host of Politics and Policy Podcast from the Hoover Institution, as well as the host of Goodfellas, a TV show, a YouTube, and a podcast. I'm John Batchelor.